This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidal Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Talo Falava and welcome to Neesian Footy, episode 3 for 2024. So we are off and running. If you're new here, this is the place where we chat all things Pacifica talent in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes and alongside me is the battered and bruised Cook Island Nines warrior, Tinura Arona T. Welcome. How's the body?
Kia ora, Sammy, and kia ora to you listening here on Neesian Footy. Mate, my body is flying. I actually feel pretty good.
So you did nothing out there?
I went to F45 this morning, got the body going, the old tractor going, and I feel good. And yeah, I've probably done nothing over the weekend at the Nines, which we'll touch on shortly. Also on the show today, we're going to be taking you to the Perth Sevens that wrapped up over the weekend, with a very special guest of ours, Sarah Naguama.
Oh, the Fijian media queen. Yes, she'll be coming on. Obviously, we work with her on that Pacific Sports show as well. And to be honest, she's taken over the world at the moment. She's one of the most prominent Pacifica voices in Australian media these days, but also a gun rugby player. And we can't wait to hear her story.
Moment of the week.
Sammy, we forgot to mention last week, it was almost 1 year since we reconnected at Old Tregear Hill over in Mount Druitt in Sydney because it was our good friend's birthday.
It was actually, yeah, it has been a year, Masada Yousefa. He tragically passed away 3 years ago on a quad bike accident, played for Tor Samoa, played over 50 NRL games with the Penrith Panthers and the West Tigers. And as I mentioned, is a close friend of both of ours as we grew up with him and played alongside him through school. And he was known as the King of the Hill in Tregear, a massive hill out in Western Sydney in the suburb of Tregear. And that's where this is where Neesian Footy, the birth of Neesian Footy started.
Where the plant was seeded.
The seed
that's
was
where
planted.
The seed was planted.
Yes, it was. And so because he was the King of the Hill, someone came up with a bright idea that we would run on his birthday.
Australia Day in the morning, so everyone has the day off.
Yep, everyone would be there. And however how old he turned, that's how many hills we'd run.
So you ran 36 times.
36 times. Took me an hour and 10 minutes.
Hour and 10 on Australia Day in the morning. What time did you start?
I was 6 a.m., but I was there at 10 past 6. Your brother was spraying me on the way up, saying, you're late,
And it was hot.
It was hot.
Did you end up beating my brother?
Oh, mate, still smoked him. He moves well for a big man. But the best thing was Masada's mum and dad were there with his brothers and sisters. They cooked the barbecue for us. So when we finished, we had a nice sausage and egg roll at the end of it. So probably didn't need it after the hills. But it was a special moment because we started off the first year with only probably three of us. Then you came the year after your stint in England, and there was about five of us, and there was about 30 of us on the weekend that went. So, yeah, much love to the Yousefa family. He's a big part of who we are and why we do what we do. So much love, and, yeah, can't wait to do it again next year.
Bulavinaka, Lotte Tungiri here, and you're listening to Neesian Footy.
Sammy, off to the footy results and news, and you're starting with rugby union.
Oh, we're going to go rugby union now.
You decided to change. Well, here on the program, it says rugby union. Sammy, let's do rugby first again.
Okay, sweet. Well, when? Yeah, we'll take the limelight early in the year because when rugby league takes over in season, I won't be able to get a word in. So, sweet. Thank you for allowing me to go first again. But Super Rugby is just under a month away, and over the next couple of weeks, all the teams will be playing their preseason matches before round one kicks off on the 23rd of February. But in the meantime, the Perth Sevens was on over the weekend.
Oh, is there a Perth Sevens tournament on?
Yeah, mate. Are you up to date with our news or no? The third leg of the World Circuit. And the interesting thing about that is that no matter where you finish, first or last, all points go towards the pool standings for the Olympics. So there's always points on offer at these circuits for the Sevens tournament. And T, I know you played the short format of the Nines, which we will talk about in the rugby league chat. Have you ever played Sevens before?
No, I haven't, but I did manage to watch a bit of it last night, and it looked quick. And history was made.
Yeah, it was women's game. Shelley Long will come on and talk all things women's sevens when she does that. But I don't think the sevens players get enough credit for what they put their bodies through. Like, and in terms of entertainment factor, it's definitely a lot more entertaining than the 15-a-side at the moment, in my
opinion. Rather watch sevens and 15s, like the World Cup grand final last year.
Yeah.
Was it one try?
I don't think, was there a try? Can't remember.
No tries.
That's how good it was.
See? But the sevens, you know, fast, a lot of skill, you know, open breaks.
Yeah. Has everything you want in terms of entertainment for the fan to get engaged with. And we saw, again, our Pacifica brothers and sisters absolutely light up the field. And we'll start off with a couple that caught my eye, which was, I should actually mention the winner, it was Argentina. They're on fire at the moment. They're swapping the round ball game for the oval ball. They're killing it. But the New Zealand Samoa game, they were playing for ninth position. New Zealand and Samoa playing for ninth and 10th.
I've seen that. New Zealand weren't even in the final rankings.
No, mate, they're the incumbent champs of Australia as well. So they were playing that, but it was still an entertaining game of footy because Samoa, geez, they nearly caused the upset in that game. Nice little chip and chase from one of the players, Alafipo, to regather and score. Outstanding. But one of the other games that caught my eye was Australia and Fiji in the Cup semi-final to go to the big dance. Tell you right now, Fiji, obviously, they're class with the way they hold the footy, making it look like a tennis ball. One of the tries they scored, you know how people run around the post?
Yep.
He was about to run around the post, but in the in-goal line, he sees his teammate coming up on the inside, throws a 30-metre cutout ball to his mate for him to score under the sticks. Like, who does that? Like, he's over the line, and he has the audacity and the confidence to throw that long ball to score, but that's probably where it stopped for Fiji. I think they tried to play a little bit like in a dinner suit.
Well, I did catch up with our Fijian brother at the front, the security guard here at the building.
Wasn't happy.
And I said, bro, what about your Fijian brothers? And he goes, you know, the Fijian forwards, they don't play like they used to. They want to run sideways and not run through and forward and get three in. So, you know, they just maybe scared.
That's exactly my point. And I feel like Australia must have been listening to our show last year when you gave some solid detail and analysis on how do you beat Fijians? Because when you had to play over there, you talked about you need to be direct, you need to match them physically. And that's what Australia did. They were relentless with their line speed. They didn't shy away from the contact. They were up, fast, low chops, didn't allow the Fijians to stay on their feet. And it frustrated the Fijians. They still tried to get some of those offloads away.
Then they try and go sideways.
Then they went sideways, and then before you know it,
Forcing errors,
and that's exactly what happened. And they bailed out. They were undefeated before that game. They're still looking good in the points table, but they haven't won. They haven't won one yet. It's very unlike Fiji not to win a tournament. And I feel like their new coach with Ben Gollings, former England Sevens legend, I think he's the highest point scorer in Sevens history. He's got to find that balance between how to unlock that physicality with their Fijian flair. So, yeah, that was the Perth Sevens. And as I mentioned, all the points go towards the Olympics. So we have Argentina leading, Fiji and Australia equal second. Samoa is ninth place, but USA and France are only just ahead of them. The next Sevens circuit heads to Canada, late Feb. And there's eight events leading into those Olympics. And Shelley will give us the results for the women's as well. But something that's also interesting, we'll have the Stan documentary about the Wallabies' lead up into the World Cup.
They're going to...
There's a behind the scenes. The last World Cup.
The one they weren't...
Yeah, the one they...
Successful at all.
Well, you know, there's only one winner at the end of the day that can lift up the Webb Ellis trophy, the cup. But I think this will be a good one because they'll be talking to Daniela Tupou and Alan Alatoa. And I believe, you know, it will show another side of footy. I think we see a lot of the ones where, you know, you go through and they win the trophy and it's almost like the dream run. Yeah. This is how it all happened. But this time you get to see the other side of it, the disappointment, the sacrifices that players make, that coaches go through. And because we know what's been the aftermath of the Wallabies campaign with Eddie Jones leaving, I think it will be a really good watch. I'm interested to see how it turns out.
The School of Hard Knocks.
Yeah, here we go.
Well, then we spoke about the Sevens. Let's move on to God's Game, Rugby League.
And talk to me.
Where we had the Nines Premier League held at Toogan Seahawks that I mentioned last week up in the Gold Coast. I got to have the honour to play for the RLPA team. Plenty of ex-NRL stars were present over the weekend. My highlight, though, was lacing up the boots with some players that I got to watch growing up. You know, Sam Thaide, Ben Hannett, Willie Mason, our CEO, Clint Newton. It was really cool. Just the honour to be a part of that team.
Yeah, so you mentioned those names. Big boppers, short format. The Nines, it was a highlight to play with them. But how did your team go with all those big boys?
We were awful.
brutally honest.
We had a team full of forwards. And everyone was like, man, your team is stacked. And I go, yeah, our team's stacked. Maybe 15 years ago.
some of those guys are 40.
I could see, yeah. But we lost a couple hamstrings during the tournament, a couple shoulders. Our two only backs, Dale Copley and Shannon Walker, both went away. Got injured, done their shoulders, so we were stuck with forwards. I even got stuck on the wing at times, and the ball got to me, and I had no idea what to do. So I'm waiting for the defenders just to tackle me because, yeah, no one's going and slicing my knees apart. but someone actually reminded me, I can't remember who it was. He comes up and he goes, oh, I love your show. And Sammy Wykes told me to tell you to go get some content.
Oh, who was that?
It might have been Joey Lala. It might have been one of the boys from up north. But
it was Lala, and I asked Latu as well. Andrew and David's brother.
There you go. Well,
so did you get any content for
us? Of course I did, mate.
Yes,
Come on.
Talk
always
to
on
me.
The clock.
Here we go.
So I started with one of our teammates for the RLPA, ex-NRL player, and he also represented Queensland and Tor Samoa, Dunamis Louis. I started by asking him if he enjoyed the day.
Yeah, pretty fun day. We unfortunately didn't win a game today, but you know the camaraderie was there. Boys having fun, and you know it was just good to put the boots back on, and you know seen a lot of boys and got to play with a lot of boys that we hadn't seen in a while. So that was pretty good.
Where are you at now with your career? Since leaving the NRL.
Yeah, so doing my own thing now, running a rugby league coaching business just out of home at the moment. Lucky enough to have some local clubs that support me and let me use their fields, and they're supporting me along the way, helping me with everything. So that's me at the moment.
Man, that's cool.
He still got it too. Yeah. He was one of our enforcers. I was trying to tell him, oh, just hit outside, hit that hole, hit inside me, because I know he was trying to run through. Whereas a lot of us older players were, as soon as one point of contact, we're just taking our knees and going down. Okay, I'll go down.
Surrender.
I ended up catching up with one of your cousins. I'll let him introduce himself.
My name is Fatuli Talanoa, and I'm from Tonga. My dad's from Vavau, and my mother's from Nuku'alofa, Kolomotu'a. So I'm involved with the Gold Coast Kautoa Tongan community here, and we're a new organisation on the Gold Coast here. We're about 3 years old, and we're up and coming, and we're only new, and we thought it was great for us to be involved in these Gold Coast events. It's awesome for us as a Tongan community to get our kids involved in events like this. Gives them exposure, and today with actually the last 2 days, a lot of our kids are playing against, you know, their idols and their heroes. So these 2 days, I'm sure the ex-NRL boys will be a bit sore for a few days, but a lot of our kids will remember this for a long time.
That's great, man. Final question, what's the favourite thing that you love about your culture?
I think it's when there's an event on, everyone puts their hands up to come and help. There's no one left alone, and we all share the load, and everyone chips in, and it makes the load a lot lighter.
How good's Fetuli? Like, he's the man. Do you know he played Union as well?
Tools did.
Yep. When he finished up with the Rabbitohs, he played for Sydney Uni.
And then he went over to the UK and played for Hull FC.
That's it. It was after that stint.
He won some Challenge Cups over there.
He obviously didn't like the game of Union and just said, I need to get back into the league. But what a champion.
But
what
I did ask, are you related to Sammy? And he's like, you know, everyone in Tonga's related. So it was good to hear from him. Also a good, also a big shout out to Jackson Lloyd. Jackson was a part of the Tongan team and, you know, had a real bad injury where he's going to go try and score a try in the corner. And then someone went around his legs and then his foot was like dangling to there to get the...
In one of the games?
Yeah, I think all the ankle ligaments. I don't know the exact results, but everyone was worried it would be a... What's the leg bones? Tibia fibula?
Syndesmosis.
They were hoping it wasn't. So we believe, or I did hear that it wasn't a tibia fibula break. So prayers to Jackson. I know you'll come back
speedy recovery.
Stronger. So speedy recovery, brother. And I managed to catch
Were busy.
Yes. We're not over yet, mate.
You can't invoice though for this, mate.
The man behind the whole event, a good friend of mine, Anthony Mitchell. He was a teammate of mine at the Sydney Roosters. I managed to ask him how he thought it all went.
Yeah, I think it's difficult to know. You're so close to it, but I think seeing the amount of people come through for the whole thing, having former NRL players like yourself engage with all the community and fans, there's definitely a place for the Nines Premier League. You know, the amount of kids getting access to these players and then also the playing group themselves. Like, the grand final was between two teams that had one NRL player. Semi-finals were stacked. I think the product of the footy itself just spoke for itself all weekend, and everyone enjoyed it.
So huge congratulations to Ant Mitchell and the Nines Premier League team. Sammy, next year we're going to take a Nuesian footy team over.
Just the two of us.
No, we'll find some boys.
Yeah, we'll find
some. So if you're connected, mate, how many guests have we had on our show?
Yeah.
We can find a team.
Now, let's just take the crew here. Our producer Declan is 40 kilos ringing wet.
He'd be faster than most of the blokes that played in my team on the weekend.
Take the first hit up, Declan. Here we go.
Nuesian footy, here we come. In further news, the Storm are taking one of their practice matches against the Knights to Churchill Park on February 24th. Kaviti Silktails will play the curtain raiser. Also, we've got to mention last week, Justin Olam heading to the Tigers from Melbourne Storm. He looks good in them Tigers colours. And Michael Chow from Nija Daily actually told me this morning that Justin Olam's PNG team were the Tigers as well.
Oh, really? Mm. I think you need to stop saying we forget things, just quietly.
We forgot to mention.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Stop telling our listeners that we forget, all right?
Well, we just have too much. We have too much news, so we're just trying to fit them all in.
Okay,
you know
sweet.
Tevita Pangai Jr. links to the Broncos.
Oh, the comeback.
After the release, after he retired last year from the Bulldogs to take up his boxing career. So he could be the next Paul Gullen.
Wow, okay.
And finally, Joseph Suoli'i. He's in talks to represent New South Wales in the State of Origin.
Ooh, could be a big one for Suoli'i before he crosses over to Rugby Union.
To save the Wallabies.
Yes, please do, my friend.
But that's our news, all the footy news in the men's space. Let's go to Shelley Long for the long story short.
The long story short with Shelley Long.
Well, as you know, Shelley, you complete the show. Let's dive straight into it. The Rugby Sevens Perth news and results. What do you got for us?
Yeah, so I've got that Fiji had an outstanding performance. They dominated their pool games. They beat Brazil a massive 40 points to 15. And along with that, they also beat Spain 31 points to nil. Unfortunately, they went down to Ireland in the cup quarterfinals narrowly, 14 points to 12. Now, Ireland ended up winning it, so they weren't a part of the competition previously. They kind of have just come in to that rugby union competition, and they ended up taking it out. So when you look at that, that is incredible.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, big news for Ireland. Like, that's
huge news. That's history made, is it?
Yeah, it is.
First time.
The Aussie girls were looking to go back-to-back in their tournaments, and they've been on fire at the moment. And for someone like Ireland to come through like that, very impressive. But it's also, very impressive from our Fijian women on field. But there was also some news off the field or not as a player, but as a ref, do you have any news?
The refs
around
are still
that?
On the field, Sammy.
That's very true, T. I'm just going to go out and get it. You know what I mean, Shelley.
I know what you mean. Lavinia Rothatha, she has created history by becoming the first female referee in Fiji, from Fiji, to officiate in that Perth Sevens competition. So that's incredible for her. You know, we've been talking a lot about history-making moments for a lot of these smaller nation countries and our Pacific countries, and this is definitely another one of those moments where we love to see it, and we love that she has now become that person where the younger generation can look up to and potentially become.
Representation, I love it.
Yeah, that matters. And as you said, like, you don't necessarily need to be a player on the field, you can be someone else on the field as well, being a ref or a touch judge or being a fan as well. So that's awesome news there from Lavinia.
And like you said, Sam, in regards to on the field stuff, Lavinia actually used to play sevens, and watching another female referee ref the game, she ended up really wanting to become a referee herself. So that's outstanding, you know. She's playing a major role in that space.
Yeah, that's awesome news there from Lavinia. But then going on over to the table, the overall table, have you got the results for the women's circuit so far?
Yep, so we've got Australia came first, New Zealand second, France third, and Fiji, with their outstanding performance in Perth, ended up landing seventh. So those rankings will help them with going into the Olympics.
Well, you're part Fijian, eh, Sammy?
I'm not part Fijian. I go there a lot.
Oh, you go there a lot.
So
this year, my challenge for you is to get Lavinia on our show.
Oh, that's a great challenge. I thought we got rid of Challenge of the Week, though.
No, it's just our size challenge.
Size challenge. All right, sweet. I like it.
Let's shift from rugby and let's go back to rugby league. Shelley, give us a pre-season update. How's it been?
Yeah, it's been challenging, this weather here. We recently just had a cyclone. I don't know if you guys happened to see that, but on Thursday we had the cyclone hit, lost power for a couple of days. So training was put on pause until Saturday, where I went out and trained in 35 degree heat in the afternoon, and I went home and I was like, where's the aircon? The power is still not on. It was terrible.
Oh, no.
And there's no ice as well. There's no power in the freezer. Well, you can't even have an ice bath.
That would have built some resilience. I like it.
I honestly hope so. So when I run Castle Hill, come Cowboys preseason, I hope I am on fire, because I've done a grueling like 3 days without power, so I can do Castle Hill. That's what I'm going to say to myself. But in some other news, outside of that, we are looking really good. I think, you know, there's been a lot of signings, especially from players coming up from New South Wales to play in the competition. Recently, Origin has been officially announced. So, first game will be in Brisbane on a Thursday night, a Magic Round, the second one in Newcastle, and the third here in Townsville. That will be exciting. And with the signings, with some of the Queensland competitions signing those New South Wales girls, they'll definitely be fit, match fit for sure.
That's huge news that they are going to be kicking off at the start of Magic Round on the Thursday. And then on Magic Round, they'll have the games Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so from the men's teams, but they get to start it all.
That'll be the 7:30 time slot, yeah, that main event?
On Thursday night,
yeah. That's unreal. How good's that? It'll be a massive crowd.
Do you know if there's many of them players going up, signing them, playing in the tournaments before the Origin in Queensland?
Yeah, there's actually quite a few. A lot of them have relocated. I know a few girls are based in Toowoomba, Sunshine Coast and Brisbane. We haven't had any come up north, but most of the signings are slowly coming out of the woodworks now. We've seen Kezi Apps. Leanne Tufunga has also signed for the Toowoomba Clydesdales. So there are quite a few girls who have come up and in preparation for that State of Origin game, which will be really important. You know, in the back of last year, we noticed that they didn't get much of those game times leading into the Origin, and that really played a part in how they performed. So it'll be quite good going into Origin 1.
Yeah, well, Queensland's obviously got the upper hand as well, having two home games. So do you feel like that's going to be an advantage?
I definitely think that it plays an advantage, but it depends, because the first game is at Magic Round. A lot of people will be there to support their, say, NRL teams. I'm hoping to see that there's a lot of women there, though, to support their Origin teams as well. So I feel like that one's more of a mutual ground, whereas it's definitely New South Wales and Queensland.
That'll
for the
do
other
me.
Two.
Suncorp, a neutral ground for New South Wales. Yeah, okay. We'll move on.
it's like a couple of years ago when you took it to Canberra, and the whole stadium at Canberra was filled with Blues fans, and I think there was maybe like five of us Queensland fans.
Whatever. I'm not buying it. You can't compare Canberra to Suncorp. But you mentioned last week that you've got a challenge of the road trip for your club team, and it's about, what did you say, 5 hour?
To Mackay Cutters,
5 hour drive. We didn't ask, is your partner playing for Mackay as well?
No, my partner, she will be at home. She's not playing in the Queensland comp. She will save herself for NRLW and All Stars.
Oh, she's been given the superstar pass, has she? Save the legs.
the marquee pass.
She's got him the old pass, as she likes to say.
Okay.
Do you do a carpool down to Mackay, or how does that work?
It kind of varies on when people work and when they get to finish. So a lot of the girls will try and get on the minibus, but if it leaves too early, then it's kind of drib drabs down there.
And how many players from the Cowboys play at the Mackay Cutters?
I think at the moment there's probably like 8.
Oh, it's a fair chunk.
Yeah. It's all right.
Like 10. There's probably 10.
Oh, yeah. We thought that you were driving down to Mackay by yourself, so we're a bit worried for you. So, no, you'll be sweet. Just like I said.
Oh, thanks, guys.
No, we just didn't do a long drive after training.
There is quite a few girls based here, and a lot of us ended up relocating. We love it here. We love what the club has offered us and the support that we've received here. So I think when it comes to the drive, though, you know, I put my headphones in, I look out the window and I stare there for 5 hours. I get to sightsee the beautiful nature. I'm super lucky.
So we're now going for the Mackay Cowboys.
Is that who we're going for?
Mackay Cowboys. Honestly, guys, you should see some of the other teams. I mean, there have been great signings across the board, and I know that Mackay Cutters may look a little bit stacked, but I mean, there's not a lot of teams here in Far North Queensland to really support that pathway for us. So, you know,
you're really good at justifying your answers. You know, you sound like the Sydney Roosters, but anyway, you do you. it makes a good story. But anyway, Shelley, we'll wrap it up there. Thank you again for your time.
Thanks, guys. Looking forward to chatting to you next week.
It's Nation Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinida Arona.
The new segment this year, Culture Shock, where we have singing, cooking, different languages, skills, challenging us to learn something about all different Pacific cultures across the seas. Sammy, and for the first Culture Shock, I asked you to count to 10 in 3 different languages.
Yeah, I'm just gonna come out now and say I really dislike some of your, you know, your challenges or your culture shock challenges, because by 3 different languages, is you think I've got all week to prepare.
One listen day. To this, bloke. You like, should already know Tongan, so that's one gone. Samoa, Māori, and Cook Island all sound similar to Tongan.
Sound similar, but it's not the same. I'm still learning something
very,
new.
Very similar.
But so,
and then Pidgin. If you haven't learned the Pidgin one, I'd be very disappointed.
Well, I had a look at the Pidgin one. It's actually very similar to English.
Exactly.
But in saying all of that, I like how I normally do. I take what you say and then I wrap it up and put it into my own
bin.
And just add my touch on it. And I've decided that I'm just going to do 1 to 10, but 3 languages in 1 to 10.
What do you mean? Like,
I'm not doing 1 to 10 in Samoan, then Tongan, then Pidgin. I'm just going to put it into my little nursery rhyme.
That's not the challenge,
I don't care.
But we will listen to this because You know, our listeners are looking forward to this.
We'll see how we go.
I remember the twist, so the nursery music behind it.
Oh, okay. Okay. I don't know how this is going to go with my flavor.
To the beat.
Tasiluatolufa. I love my wife. Ooh la la. Nima ono fitu valu. I just said that because I want no trouble. 9-10. That's it, my friend. Don't ever give me a rubbish challenge again. That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Where's the other two languages?
9-10 is pigeon. That's how you say 9-10. 9-10.
No, it's not 9-10.
It is.
No, it's
Google
not.
Google it.
I already asked our friend.
Google it.
Michael Chow.
N-A-I-N.
Michael Chow from Ninja Daily.
That's what I Googled. That's what come up.
It's 9 blah, 10 blah.
Do you know why? Because there's 101 different languages.
No. Pigeon. Pigeon, nah, there is not 109
but
different
pigeons. I typed
pigeons.
In pigeon and the thing came up as a bird.
Mate, that's a pure fail. You should lose your Nisian knowledge point because of that.
No, not at all. Oh, not bad, eh?
No,
bad
that was awful. Rhyme.
That was good. That was Samoan.
You know that was bad.
That was great.
I didn't know the difference between Samoan and Tongan, which numbers.
That's your fault for not listening.
So tell me.
Tasiluatolufa.
Yeah, it is.
Samoan.
And then where was the Tongan?
Ono fitu. Hiva valu.
And then where was the pigeon?
9-10. See?
Nine
there it
blah,
is.
10 blah.
See? On the official website. Yeah. Tick.
Count
tick,
to 10
tick,
in three
tick,
different languages.
Tick. Tick.
You count it to five.
Tick. Tick. Tick.
You count to
five. Yes, my friend. Culture shock. There you have it. 2024 T of came. I gave you a little rhyme.
Can you do it again?
Nah.
I'm just going to have to listen back to it. That was a disgrace. Sorry to all our listeners here on Nijan Footy. But Sammy's let us down. What do you got for me next week?
What have I got for you? Well, obviously, you're having a sook about the fact that
you were awful.
You believe I didn't complete the task.
You were worse than my RLPA 9s team, mate.
Oh, my goodness. Please don't ever paint me with the same brush as that team. Okay? I'm worse than
does
that.
Does he but- I love my house.
Well, hang on, just shush.
I love my
shush,
house.
Mate.
What was it? How did it go?
I love my wife. Ooh la la. Ooh la la. But anyway, let's move on to your challenge next week. And like I normally do is make things a little bit simpler for you. I understand you're a busy man, only a certain amount of time in the day.
Wait, so let me guess. This is going to involve food.
Yeah, it is.
Because simple and food, you think
that's me.
Match.
That's me. Yes, it is. So what we're going to do, obviously, our listeners and the people out there, we see a lot the lolly necklace that gets put on our Pacifica players after special occasions. Can you please bring me one in?
What?
Why?
What have you achieved to receive one of these lolly A's? Lolly A's.
Lolly A's. What?
I think in Cook Island.
Well,
call it A.
But that's part of the next... Part of that challenge is I want you to, you know, find me the name for them in a couple of different languages. You choose. I'm not going to say put 10
so
in there.
So you want me to go and make you a lolly necklace?
For my achievements.
For your achievements
for
of
achievements.
That awful song.
Yep. No, because I beat you in a running
and
race.
And then give you a background
lost
on
a lot of footy games.
The necklace.
Yeah.
And you are
And
you're
I get
good,
to eat
mate.
Them. And make sure you need to have peanut. It's in there, like peanut slab, like chocolate. That's my
So no
job.
Corned beef, no chips.
No.
Just...
$100 bill, I'll take that in there as well because that's changed. But anyway, you bring that next week and then...
And then you have to eat all the lollies on our show.
And because it's culture shock, I want to not just eat the lollies or the chocolate or take the money that you'll put on there. Hey, you like that one? I want to know the meaning behind it.
What it represents.
Couple of names.
Yeah,
Who you made it with. Because you're definitely not doing it by yourself.
I'll be doing it by myself.
Because I've seen my mother-in-law make them. Like, she spends hours out there with the ribbons and tying them all up.
Well, I can't promise you it'll look great, but I will give it a fair crack at it. You know?
Okay. We'll see you next week.
Hello, Falava. My name is Annalisa Seal, and you're listening to Nijan Footy.
Joining us today, we have an Australian rugby union player who plays lock for the Wallaroos and also plays for the New South Wales Waratahs in the Super W competition. Sam also calls her the modern-day media queen, as she is a co-host on that ABC show, That Pacific Sports Show. Welcome to Nijan Footy, Sarah Naguama.
Well, boys, what an introduction. The modern media queen, Sam.
Oh, you like that? You thought there was going to be something a bit you know, our banter, but I thought I'd give you a rap here.
Yeah, normally you give me something a little bit controversial, but I'll run with that.
It's still to come.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I might just update my Instagram bio to your modern media queen, because that's a solid tagline.
Did I get that right? Nangama?
Nangama. There's no Sammy. U enunciation in my name.
I stitched him up.
This is going to be a great interview. Yeah. I feel it.
All right, Sarah, so you're on your way home from the Perth Sevens tournament. Talk us through it. How was the event?
The event was absolutely phenomenal. It was the first time for us to bring the HSBC circuit here to Perth. Obviously, as we know, it's always been historically held in Sydney. So it's a new environment, new state, but I tell you what, the numbers really showed out. And often there's this really negative narrative that surrounds rugby, but to see people ball out for an event that's never been held in their state before was really, really remarkable. Even to the last day, it was a sold-out stadium, and the overall vibe just built steadily, and that was complemented by the brilliant rugby. And I just loved it. To be here, to be on the ground, to be able to call part of the action was such a blessing, but also so rewarding to see people come out and support the sport. Yeah, it was big 3 days for me personally from a work perspective, but any time that I had a break to go and mix in with the crowd, I certainly made the most of it.
Very nice. Oh, you said you did the Perth Sevens, but the week before you did the Coral Coast Sevens in Fiji. Can you explain the difference between the atmosphere between Fiji and probably the Perth one?
One thing that is consistent between the Coral Coast Sevens in Fiji and Perth is that Fijian fans are the most passionate fans ever, and they're so loyal. They are so, so loyal. It was crazy, though, because in Fiji, the Coral Coast Sevens is the biggest domestic tournament that they have, so much so that it attracts invitational teams in the likes of the USA Falcons, New Zealand Development, Matakesi, which is a team from New Zealand that was founded by Seven superstar Sarah Hittany. So a lot of the girls that didn't make the Seven circuit, particularly for these Perth stops, were added to that squad. So there's just like a plethora of talent. But even the Fiji national sides, both men and women's, had entered their sides to kind of get a bit of a selection process, I guess, out of it. And the fans were rooting for the village teams against the national teams, and just the way that they rocked was insane. But to kind of draw a comparison, they are equally vibrant, etc. But I guess the resources that surround the Coral Coast Sevens compared to what you have here in Perth is obviously very, very different. Speaking from a comms perspective, our comms box in Singapore is at the top of an old grandstand, and we have one wall fan that honestly feels like it feels like someone's just blowing on you through a straw. And honestly speaking, there's no relief when you're up there in that box and you're calling the action, because it's so hot and humid. And again, you're at the top of this grandstand, so the heat rises. People are feeling out. So I think at one point, like, you're sitting in like 35 degree heat and there's just no relief because there's no wind. It's pure humidity. And then you come here to Perth and it's an aircon box. You get a little bit tired of that. You can go downstairs. There's a big lounge. You sit around, have some food, blah, blah, blah. But I just love that, right, that there's such contrasting tournaments, but equally so, so rewarding to be a part of.
Did I see that the fans stole the marquee tent that was for the bench for the players? Did I see that when it was started to rain?
Yes. So it was the last day of the Coral Coast Sevens. It starts bucketing down. And as you would normally see at local tournaments, there's marquees set up all around. The Fijians, dead set, just picked up the marquee. There would have been at least 30 people under it. And they just walked out of the stadium. Not one tent. There was at least like five tents walking out. And they just, you just see four guys holding each corner of this marquee. And there's at least 30 people in each of it. And just so unapologetic about it. And you can't do anything else. You can't get mad. You just laugh. And you're just like, this is Fiji in its truest form. And like, to be fair, like, what purpose will the marquee have if it just stays there? It can be used as a source of protection from the rain. And I even heard some of the people were saying that the police were going up to them saying, hey, you can't take it. They're like, well, too bad, we're taking it. Look at all these people. We need to keep them dry.
That's so good.
I love it. And honestly, Coral Coast is so rewarding in the sense that I just get to go back and be with my people and just be myself. And like, in a world that can often be so white, it's so nice to go back home.
Man, that sounds so awesome, eh? I mentioned in your introduction how you played rugby for Australia, Super in the Super W competition, a co-host on that Pacific Sports Show. But you're there doing commentary. It seems like you're very, very busy. Got a lot of hats on, like my mate over here, Sammy.
Yeah, we all wear hats.
But can you...
Sam wears more than me, though. Let's just make that clear.
Can you talk to us through your media journey at the moment?
Yeah, a bit going on. So as you mentioned, I'm still a current rugby player. I absolutely love it, playing with the Waratahs and also part of the Wallaroos squad. But outside of that, I've really started to forge my own career in media. It's pretty hectic because both really demand a lot of me, but work-life balance is something that I constantly have to consider and reconsider. But with all these seven staff, World Rugby have brought me on board to be a second voice commentator. And as we know, the circuit's a global platform and the game travels. And I've been so fortunate to be called back in to do this Perth stop. And in a few weeks, I'll travel to LA to do the LA Sevens as well. So it's pretty hectic. Like, I won't lie, like, there are definitely some short sleeps in between work and training and whatnot. But I just try my best to try and balance it out. And that comes with a lot of planning. Like, for me to be here, it's January. I was speaking to my coach about this tournament in August to see if I could take it. And everything that I do, it's always with rugby is my first priority. And if work can work around that, then so be it. Then if I can't, then I have to say no. And sometimes the opportunities for work are incredible. They're opportunities to go overseas and do really, really awesome gigs. But I'm a really strong believer in, like, what is meant for me will never pass me. And I know that the longer that I am a rugby player, it improves my relevance, it improves my credibility, and everything that comes from media comes from a really strong rugby career. So again, the work-life balance is something that I constantly have to reconsider, but it doesn't, like, nothing is a knee-jerk reaction in terms of my work. Everything is really well thought out. All jokes aside, like, I have Sammy to lean on a fair bit with advice, because he's obviously been through that path of being a professional rugby player, and now he's forging his career in media. But again, I just have to do a whole lot of forward planning, a whole lot of considering about what is my priority, what's not. And then as long as rugby is the first thing and everything works around it, then you can be assured that I will make it work.
Something else that's come from your media talents and you being front and center is, I guess, representation. And I probably didn't really understand how much an impact seeing someone like yourself on TV talking footy, being a panelist, and it really inspired me to have a crack. Do you feel that you've made a massive difference in that space by jumping into a space that's usually, you know, uncomfortable or not natural or not really seen for a lot of Pacific Islanders?
Yeah, I don't really sit too long to think about it, because I try not to focus on that stuff too much, because I think that when you start to think that your job is to inspire or whatever, that comes with a responsibility that I don't necessarily always want to feel or know that I have. So my best approach with that is just, like, to live authentically, take up those spaces. And yeah, like, there are definitely times that I feel really uncomfortable, but I know that I'm forging a path that not many people have had the opportunity to be in or to travel on. And I definitely had a moment yesterday after I called my last game. It was the Australia v Ireland Cup final. Finished calling my game, came downstairs, sat in the crowd, and, like, just genuinely water in my eyes to think, like, how, and it makes me emotional now just even talking about it. But, like, honestly, a young girl, you know, with Fijian heritage, like, didn't go to university, probably was counted out of a few really big opportunities, yet here I am, like, sitting amongst some of the best voices in the game, and I get to play a really small part in that. And then I think about the reach that the circuit has, and it's genuinely a global audience. They get to hear my voice.
Yeah.
That's cool. But then I just, like, think about my family, and I think, man, from what we've been through and, like, the stuff that people will never know about, the struggles behind closed doors, like, I am my parents and my grandparents' answered prayer, and, like, that's really special to me, and I hold that really close to my heart.
Big clap. You absolutely should be proud of yourself.
Yes.
I love that.
Thank you, my brothers.
I've worked with you on that Pacific Sports Show, and sitting next to you at times, I'm like, man, you can own it. You own that lounge. You own the camera. But the question I want to ask you is, what skills or habits do you transfer from, you know, being good on the footy field to being good at your media work?
Discipline. motivation is overrated. Like, honestly, that has been my quote, particularly in this last 4 months, is that motivation is overrated. Discipline is what's going to put you in good stead. And the thing is, like, if you depend on, or if I depended on my emotions for rugby, which means, like, whether I feel like training, getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go train before I get to the studio, or go and call 8 games of rugby, that's not, I can't do that on feeling. That's just pure discipline. And that transfers over in my media stuff. Like, do I go out and have drinks with the crew after we finish like a huge day of work, or do I go home just to rest knowing that I have to get up and go again? And I'll choose the latter. And like, don't get me wrong, I often fall off the path every now and then, and Sammy would know it too full well. I sometimes fall off, and he's giving me some very sobering conversations. To,
I feel like you're a younger sister. I was like, man, what are you doing?
I know. Honestly, the amount of times I was like, can you just like grow up for a moment?
That's rich coming from me, though.
But like, you know, there's no path that's ever perfect. You're going to make mistakes, but I know in the depths of my soul, when everything else falls aside, I have discipline. And that is why I can do both and do what I do. And I say that with my head lifted high, and I don't want to shy away from that, because, like, I tell you, this last log in particular, being in Fiji and then having to travel here, I haven't missed a single bit with my training. And I'll go home and I'll be across my content and I'll apply myself and try and put myself in a really, really solid position for selections when it comes time to play.
Where is the Wallaroos at the moment in terms of where they're playing? Has it improved from last year? Because you girls finished on a massive high at the end of your tour last year. Can you explain and go into a bit of detail on what's happening there?
So Wallaroos is definitely still in motion. It's not the primary focus right now, because Super obviously is, but we had a coach recently appointed, Jo Yap. She was a prolific halfback in her time for England rugby. So she will come on board. Well, she's fully on board now, but where our program currently lies is we're just going through like a bit of a transition phase from Wallaroos into Super. We have a schedule lined up for this year. We actually have a home test against Fiji in May.
Then
we have a whole bunch of tournaments, like Pac 4 will be hosted in Australia. We'll have WXV. We'll still have our Warrior Rally series, which obviously is a 2-game series between Australia and New Zealand. So looking at about 8 test matches. Where we ended last year was a huge, huge step forward from, I guess, how we started. And the focus for us as a group is to really improve and play some really solid rugby throughout our super season, so we can go even further with the Wallaroos, because the last thing we want to do is take a backward step. So, acknowledging the elephant in the room, everyone knows that we spoke out against our governing body. Since then, things have improved and conversations have been open and fluid. But right now, our focus is our super season's individual performance and earning selection once Joe Yap appoints her first Wallaroos squad for the season.
Beautiful. Thank you for the update. We know your last name, Ngama, is a very famous name in the rugby league world. Your older brothers, Kevin and Wes, some great players. What I want to ask about is, were you inspired from them when you were younger? And you know, when you guys were growing up, did you ever get to play against them?
Yeah, Wesley and Kevin honestly roughed me up hugely as a kid. I have such vivid memories of us playing lounge room footy, and there's actually another one of us. Her name's Rhonda. She just doesn't have a sporting gene in her body.
is she the singer? She must be the singer.
Shout out to Rhonda.
She claims she's the pretty one, and she is. She's very beautiful. But there goes Wesley, Kevin, Rhonda, and then myself. So what the boys used to do was split Rhonda and I, and then we'd play like knee footy. So like on the lounge room, cushion each, like try and get to the other side to score a try. And then like there'd just be massive blows, and I just used to rough the hell out of my sister. And then, you know, Kevin was like, oi, like tackle her, like keep it down. You have to like fight to stay in this. And so honestly, we would go at it. But then the boys would then jump in, and then it would be like most of the time be Wes and I against Kevin and Rhonda. And then, yeah, we just all used to go ham. And then there'll always be a crier, and it'll either be Kevin or me. Like when you know there's tears, you know you've gone too far. And then like anytime it was me, Kevin would be like, shh, 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 like don't make a big deal. Otherwise mum's going to like not let us play anymore. And he's like, come, we'll play again. I'll let you score the first try. So, they definitely have molded me. And, like, I love my brothers because they, like, they certainly have led by example a bit. They've had their shortcomings as well. They they really have created a legacy around our family name. And to me, I loved growing up being able to tell my brother, like my friends at school, like my brothers play rugby, and now I have the opportunity to do that, and they're the ones telling their friends that their sister plays rugby, so we all win.
Last question for me. Any thoughts of jumping ship and coming to God's game?
No interest at all. And just to set the record straight, rugby union is actually the game they play in heaven too. Get it right.
Bro, do you want to get paid or what?
Thank you. Says,
do you want that cash?
Do you want fast cash or do you want a long-term career? Hey, that's Sarah's in the right spot. But anyway, Says, obviously we know you've got to catch a flight back to Sydney from Perth. We really appreciate your time. And all jokes aside, around our banter, you're an absolute machine, both on and off the field. Thank you for inspiring so many, I guess, younger women, younger Pacifica women, even people like myself and T who really look up to you in the media space, not so much the footy space. No, I'm joking. But I'm joking. We love what you...
I appreciate you guys and always got so much time for you. Thank you for having me. Later, boys.
Bye.
Nation knowledge.
Let's go, T. Nation knowledge. We are up. And what are we playing for again at the end of the year?
A nice Nation footy tattoo on the body. That cartoon one of us two.
Yeah, nice.
That'll look pretty cool. On your chest.
Vase.
On your chest.
You know what I mean? No, not on my chest.
On your neck.
Oh, on my neck. It's going where, if I lose, it's going where you belong. That's behind me.
Not if
mid-section.
You lose, it's when you lose.
All right, first question.
Is this the past, history, the present, or outbox? History's past,
Can you let me ask, please? Here we go. The great man, Lotte Tungiri. He played 6 origin games for Queensland, scored 5 tries. How many goals did he kick?
How many goals did he kick for Queensland?
For Queensland. But you didn't play for New South Wales in origin.
You know, I've actually got this image of him kicking a goal. Someone say one.
One?
One.
Wrong. 4.
4.
Kick 4 goals.
He kicked 4 goals.
He kicked 4 goals.
For Queensland.
For Queensland.
The Maroons.
Oh, you got it wrong, bro.
That was a good question.
You like that one? Mm. I knew you'd like it.
Because I knew you had to do some research for that.
It wasn't just up in the elevator.
Yeah.
Okay, at the ages of 41, which team has Matt Giddo and Samoan All Blacks legend Ma'anonu signed with this year? Professional team.
Matt Giddo and Ma'anonu at the age of 41. Professional team.
Professional team.
Oh, it's a Japanese team?
Don't know. You tell me. Come on, man. We haven't got all day.
I don't know any Japanese teams, eh? Can I just go the brand?
Yeah, go for it.
See, it's not even a Japanese team. Oh, Western Force.
No, that's wrong. San Diego.
See?
Okay, here's my random one for you. How old was Joseph Swali'i when the West Tigers last played finals footy?
Oh.
I stole this from someone's Instagram page too, so shout out for the question.
Yeah, it might have been Clarkie's. I think I've seen it.
Yeah, I think it was that guy's one. Do you remember the answer on it, though? So we can go one all?
6 years old.
Ooh, close. Damn. Close. He was 8.
Oh.
Yes. No points for Tinodel. Oh, no. Nah.
That was.
And that's our time up for today. I'm so happy you got donuts. So good to be back talking on air.
See, wait,
all
wait.
Things. Nisha 40, it's finished, mate. Remember, you can listen anytime to previous episodes or chats
it's
with some of our favourite Pacifica athletes wherever you get your podcasts.
A great lesson to take from that. Ka kite.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.